I'd like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Yeah, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush, the latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
Well, lots to be talked about this week. Well, I guess the last week, too, in the preseason, when you have your joint practices with another team, and it can get a little physical, and how do coaches manage that? The Broncos and the Rams just wrapped up day one of their joint practices, and there was a little bit of a scuffle. Damari Mathis and Josie Jewell were involved in a fight, but it wasn't that big of a deal. Got that cleared away overall. So I know there was concern because last year it was the Broncos and Cowboys, and it was bad. I mean, they were at each other's throats pretty much that whole week. So yeah, it's probably a good thing to get out of there with, you know, not too much damage done. Not really the case with Philadelphia and the Colts. They had a sideline clearing brawl that erupted between the Eagles and the Colts on Tuesday. And it was sparked by Eagles center Jason Kelce. He blindsided Zaire Franklin at the end of the play. He dropped the Colts linebacker to the ground. And then Kelce appeared to go after everybody else. And then that's when Philadelphia came in, as primetime would love that. All your teammates are there to back you up in a fight. And, man, they were getting after it. He did say that it was a cheap shot. He took a cheap shot. He admitted it. He said, we try and keep things civil on the field, and I pride myself on being a guy that sustains the emotions and level of play out there, but I let my emotions get the better of me. That certainly doesn't belong out there on the field, and a little ashamed that it got to that level. Yeah, you don't really think of... You think of both Kelces have gotten into some fights this year. Travis Kelce with his own teammate throwing a punch. And then, you know, what you're seeing with Jason Kelce here. When you think of a Kelce getting in a fight, you definitely think it's going to be Travis Kelce, not so much Jason Kelce. But I don't know, Angel, what's your take on joint practices? I mean, these guys practice, you hear it anyway. They're tired of hitting each other. They want to hit somebody else. The emotions are running high. They're going to run really high when you're just going up against another team constantly, and it's practice.
Oh, it's frustrating. It's annoying when, you know, you're a D lineman and this lineman keeps blocking every move you're throwing at him, and you're trying to make a team and you're trying everything you can to get some attention on you, and gosh, this old lineman, he just keeps putting me in the dirt. I can't do anything against him. And then, all right, I get him on this time and I'm going to stand over him a little bit, and then he's going to shove me and I'm going to shove him, and there you go.
Yeah, and there's refs there, but they're not officiating everything, and you're not getting fined or anything like that. So there's going to be...
Just don't punch people with helmets on.
Not a wise idea for so many reasons. Don't punch
people.
Even
with the little guardian caps. Don't even do that.
I thought it was funny yesterday. They were in pad. They weren't in pad. The Broncos weren't in pads yesterday when Drew Brees was there, and we're talking about that. They're doing walkthroughs. They're under their dome thing there. But the quarterbacks are still wearing their little concussion covers. Yeah, what are those called?
Guardian caps.
Why wear them when you're not in contact?
I'm not sure.
I mean, to get used to. Well, you're not going to wear those during the games. They look so funny, man.
It's interesting on a quarterback. Like, O-linemen, I get that. I could see.
Because they could still smack heads.
Yeah. Quarterbacks.
Why are you...
You're not getting hit. You're not going to the ground.
It just looks so funny.
Unless maybe Russ just doesn't like teammates hitting him on the helmet.
Maybe. I don't know. But Russ
more
was...
of a handshake kind of guy? I don't know.
He wasn't in shoulder pads or anything, and so it just makes it look even bigger on his head. And it was just funny because he's running around, he's talking to Drew Brees, and then there's Russ, and he's got the big foam head. It looks like
a Wes Welker.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's funny. NBA, this James Harden thing is weird. So the NBA is going to fine James Harden $100,000 over public comments he made earlier this month expressing displeasure after the Sixers failed to trade him. The NBA Player Association intends to file a grievance disputing that $100,000 fine. He said NBA PA's statement was put out this morning, or actually last night, We respectfully disagree with the league's decision to discipline James Harden for recent comments made, which he believed do not violate the rule against public trade demands. I think they do. We intend to file a grievance and have the matter heard by our arbitrator. They absolutely do violate the rule against public trade demands. You are saying that you will not, you don't trust him, and you're saying that he is a liar and you'd never be involved with an organization that he's involved in. Don't you think that that might obstruct the view of some of these free agents potentially looking at Philadelphia when that comes up? Oh, yeah, James Harden said he doesn't trust the guy and he's a liar and he reneges on the deals and stuff like that. I think it's detrimental.
Sure, but also these GMs kind of have their own little fraternity with each other. You know, they look out for each other for the most part.
But would we be mad? Was it Maury? Would we be upset if Maury came out and was at a press conference in China and said, I will never manage a basketball team that James Harden is on ever again. He is a liar and he is a terrible person. We'd say, man, you just ruined that guy's shot at getting on a team.
Oh, you'd be fined for saying something like that?
Yeah, I think that either way, you can have conversations about former coaches and players that you had. Like all the stuff that Kenyon Martin is saying about George Karl now, he couldn't have been saying while he was playing in the league. Because you can't mess with the trade situation, the public trade. You can't screw it. It's basically like bad-mouthing your boss or a boss bad-mouthing an employee. There's just like work. If somebody leaves this station and they go apply somebody somewhere else and they call their old place of work, you can't bash that former employee. You can simply say, they'll probably ask you, would he be eligible, he or she be eligible for rehire? And you can simply just answer yes or no. They're not supposed to ask why. So it's the same kind of deal. James Harden can get on his little press conference thing or whatever the hell it was and say, I just didn't like my time in Philadelphia. That'd be fine.
Well, it's interesting how the NBA has approached this, and you see the comparisons to the Lillard situation. It's very obvious. When a player says something, they're going to be there are consequences for it. When your agent says something, the NBA is like, all right, we're going to send a memo to everyone and just say, you can't really be doing this, or just be careful. Harden's over here, you know, bringing down the owner, and that's detrimental to not only him and the organization of Philly, but the entire NBA and its, you know, ownership staff.
Which situation is worse in your mind? What Damian Lillard's agent allegedly did, or what James Harden did on a press conference? What's worse?
Harden.
Yeah, because you are flat out saying that environment is toxic and
agent,
you have a liar.
Thing, that could be a negotiation type thing. You know, try to get Portland to budge somewhere. Harden doing this himself, putting on an event to badmouth his owner, that's going way over the line of pettiness, I think.
Yeah, I think that he's just mad that they didn't trade him and all that stuff. And
well, where do you want to go? You're not telling me where you want to go.
Well, maybe he told them. Maybe he told them. I don't know. It's just, it's annoying to me. I'm not that interested in this James Harden story, but I get why. I hope the NBA PA doesn't win this case or their grievance. I hope they don't win that because, yeah, you're screwing over an organization. Whether he's a good or bad guy, whether he is trustworthy or not, he's put in a position of power for an NBA basketball team. How about Reggie Bush? Former USC running back and Heisman, but not Heisman winner. Reggie Bush will file a defamation lawsuit against the NCAA on Wednesday, according to his lawyers. The lawsuit is based on the NCAA maliciously attacking his character through a completely false and highly offensive statement that was widely reported on in the media. Now, this is basically going back to when Reggie Bush was trying to increase his efforts of getting his Heisman back and all of his endorsements and all the awards that he won, the records and all of that stuff, his records, his participation restored in light of changes to name, image, and likeness, the rules that took effect. God, was that 2 years already? Yeah, about 2 years. It was shortly after that Reggie Bush ramped up his efforts to kind of clear his name. And the NCAA statement at the time, amongst that investigation or trying to clear his name, this is what they released. Although college athletes can now receive benefits from their names, images, and likeness, through activities like endorsements and appearances, NCAA rules still do not permit pay-for-play type arrangements. The NCAA infractions process exists to promote fairness in college sports. The rules that govern fair play are voted on, agreed to, and expected to be upheld by all NCAA member schools. So, first off, they're basically saying, yeah, but even if he was playing now, what he did was still would still be considered illegal in the NCAA's eyes because what he took was pay for play. That it was a direct, you come here, you're getting a car. You play for us, you're getting a car. It's not supposed to be done that way. The station did not contract Clay Millen to do a weekly radio show dependent on his success or even his ability to start for the team. It simply states that he, while he is on the team, he can do a radio show. It has nothing to do with how many touchdowns he throws or if he gets demoted to a backup.
I think a good example is Torrey Horton. He got the car, right?
Yeah, he got a car.
There you go.
But he's already at CSU.
It was through the Green and Gold Collective.
It was through the Green and Gold Collective, and he was already a Ram. And they basically just said, hey, you're working with us now, and here's a vehicle for you. You're working with Markley. Now, that's his that's their guy now, is Torrey Horton. And that's fine. A business can choose to do that thing. But the player can't accept if let's just say CSU, but when Torrey Horton was with Nevada, Markley couldn't have called Torrey Horton and said, hey, come to CSU. We got a car for you. Torrey Horton couldn't have accepted that. And I'm guessing Markley would have been, there's nothing they can do to Markley. The only thing they can do to Markley is shun them and say, okay, well, you can't be a part of anything we do with CSU.
Yeah, so in 2010, the four-year investigation determined that he and family members, while a student-athlete, accepted cash, travel expenses, and a home in the San Diego area where his parents lived rent-free for more than a year and for which they were provided $10,000 to furnish.
Yeah, and that's...
that's a lot.
That's just...
for one player.
Yeah, no,
not
it's
even one player
it's
to
all
get
bad.
All of that today with NIL stuff.
So he's basically coming out and fighting that. He's saying that they're ruining his name by saying what he did was worse than what we're seeing now. Let's assume, Angel, that Reggie Bush didn't accept any money to play necessarily. It was like an NIL type of deal. He was already there, and then he got a car. Let's assume that all happened. If that were the case, should he have gotten his Heisman back and all of his records and participation and all that?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like if I'm
it's
speeding.
It's difficult for me to sit and take away what he did.
I hate taking away wins and losses. Trophies are a little bit different for me.
Sure. I mean, the Heisman doesn't have to officially recognize him, but you ask any football fan, they'll tell you Reggie Bush won a Heisman.
Yeah, I mean, it's like saying, it's legal now. A lot of what he did is legal now. It's like saying, yeah, I used to go 65. I used to go 55 when it was 55, and now it's 65, and I can go 65, but I got a ticket for going 65 and a 55, or something along those lines.
Does he have a strong enough case here for defamation?
If what you're saying is if he received money before he committed to USC, I mean, is that the case?
The investigation was while he was a student athlete. That, you know, all this stuff was given to him and his family.
I mean, if it was while he was playing, what's the rule on NIL? Can they hook up your family, too?
About what the investigation found. I think it's just the defamation part about what the media has been saying about him. If he can prove that it had a detriment impact on his life, you might have a case, but defamation's really a tough case to handle.
By rights, Angel, does he have a case? Those are two different conversations. Does he have a case? The NCAA is basically saying, yeah, the rules are you still can't accept money for pay to play. So by issuing that statement after Reggie Bush came out and went after the NCAA, by issuing that statement basically says you were receiving pay for play. You weren't doing name, image, and likeness stuff. That's a big difference.
It's huge.
So then Reggie Bush would have to prove that he didn't receive $1 before committing to USC by anybody with USC that has an interest in getting him to USC. Whether that was an external figure or an external company, or it was somebody involved with the boosters, he would have to prove that he didn't receive one penny.
So the official lawsuit statement here says, based on the NCAA maliciously attacking his character through a completely false and highly offensive statement that was widely reported in the media.
I mean, what was the attack on his character? I mean, I don't know what the attack of his character was. Is it just...
The NCAA statement in question was issued to ESPN along with other media outlets on July 28th, 2021 in response to an inquiry about the possibility of Bush having his records and participation restored in light of changes to name, image, likeness rules that went into effect earlier that month.
Yeah, and their response was just...
So the NIL rules came down, and USC said, okay, we can look at Reggie Bush now.
Mm-hmm.
And the media is saying, yeah, you can look at it, but it's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing. And the NCAA, by issuing that statement, saying the rule still does not permit pay-for-play. So that was them saying he did a pay-for-play deal. Among probably other NIL type stuff, but he did a pay-for-play deal. Reggie Bush is saying, no, I was receiving stuff while I was there and not for any perks for being a member of the USC Trojans. Nothing like that. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to go prove, if he wants to win this lawsuit, he has to prove that he didn't receive $1. Even a penny would cost him his case.
Where did this stuff come from? Was this coaches? Was this just boosters? Was it the entire athletic department kind of just passing a bowl around?
Why do you think Pete Carroll got the hell out of USC when all this was going down?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Pete Carroll has a lot of, you know, dirt on his hands with what happened at USC.
Sure.
But he got the hell out of there. They can't do anything to him now. Gut feeling? Yeah, they probably, somebody probably promised him something before he signed. I don't know. Did he take it?
I mean, you got to think this is all before social media. This is before even really everyone had a cell phone at this point. So, yeah, I mean, a lot of under-the-table stuff. How can you prove it?
Well, it's defamation of – he's saying it's defamation of character.
How can you prove that?
You can't prove
that.
Can you
show me that your life after 2010 was significantly worse before it because of that statement?
Angel, if somebody bought him a breakfast burrito before he committed to USC, he has no case.
Right.
If you're at a restaurant and Billy, who loves you, runs the breakfast burrito truck, or not a restaurant but a truck, and says, hey, I hear you're checking out USC. Hey, this one's on the house, buddy. And if Reggie accepted that, end of story. Because that's illegal in the NCAA's eyes. And I know that for a fact. I had a story here locally of a business that saw some recruits in a local restaurant in northern Colorado and knew about them and was excited about them. And when he got up to pay his check, he said, hey, their check is on me. Walked out the door. He was chased down. So everything was good. He was chased down by a coach. And the coach said, here's your money back. They can't accept that. So it was all clean. Everything was good because the business owner didn't think anything of it. Why would he? But if those players had accepted that free lunch, technically that would have been a breaking of the rules because they were not signed. Now, I can go buy, before the NIL existed, Angel, I could go to lunch with Clay Millen and I could cover the tab because he was part of CSU. But if I covered the tab while he was there visiting, that would be called an enticement type of situation. I don't know if he's going to have any. He's going to have to prove that he did not receive one penny before he committed to USC, and whoever he received that penny from, he has to prove that it had nothing to do with his recruitment with USC.
So the NCAA is saying that the organization alleged he received improper benefits from a sports marketing agent while dazzling fans as a star running back at USC.
And again, if he was receiving money in different ways that he's not supposed to while at USC.
And because there was no avenues to do it back then.
They're not supposed to have sports agents. They can have marketing agents now. They can have an agent that is representing you, like the collective, going out and saying, hey, Markley, do you want to work with Torrey Horton? Here's something cool. It cannot be an actual agent that's like, hey, Denver Broncos, you guys should be coming to check this guy out. Like, they can't be doing that. They can't have that kind of an agent that's setting them up, to my knowledge. They can't have Tom Cruise, and they can't have Jerry Maguire, basically, but they can have a marketing person. 25 minutes after the hour, very interesting. I don't know. I mean, again, I'm not a big take wins and losses away from people, but trophies, maybe a little different. And again, Angel, I got a copy of this book in my office. It's Heisman. It's written by Heisman's son, I think. The idea of the Heisman Trophy was not supposed to be the MVP award. It was supposed to be, are you good at football? Okay. But are you a good student? All right. Basically, are you Tim Tebow? That's what the Heisman was supposed to be.
Yeah, it's a character award.
It's a character award.
So it's an either award for student athletes, but it has turned into the MVP.
MVP. So even if they went by the rules of the Heisman, Reggie Bush did something he was not supposed to do. It's most of it's legal now, but at the time it wasn't. That makes sense. The Heisman has been awarded to a lot of guys that probably don't deserve it in the terms of Heisman. 26 after the hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. The voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. So we're looking forward to that. Get his thoughts on Randy Cross throwing out that bold prediction that the Colorado Buffs are going to beat TCU. All that and more coming up. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
You want high school football? You've come to the right place. High school football on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Coming up on September 11th, we're going to be out live and on location at Shields, 5 to 7 o'clock, though. I want you guys to stop by. It's going to be a great time. It's the CU-CSU Fan Fest kind of thing, gearing up for the Rocky Mountain Showdown. Shields is the place. They have everything. Golfer, gotcha. Hunter, check. Camper, outdoorsy kind of person, they'll take care of you there, too. Exercise equipment, working out, lifting weights, all of it. Kids playing sports, and Shields got you covered, man. Trust me on this. 32 minutes after the hour, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffs, is going to come up. Is going to join us next. But first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Joining us now on the First Advantage Hotline, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, Mark Johnson. Mark, apologies, man. We keep getting booted for Rockies games, but not the case today. We finally fought through it. We say no more. We're never taking a day off ever again.
You know what? I've been blown off by better people than you.
Hey, I you don't have to say it out loud, Mark. We all know it, but when you say it, it can hurt your feelings.
Well, it's good to be out with you again.
Speaking of perhaps better people, Randy Cross, I'm actually going to talk to him next week. He's doing another game up here. He's CSU Washington State, but he's kind of going all in on the Colorado Buffaloes, at least for week one. He thinks that the Buffs can beat TCU.
Did I just hear you? Did you just name drop?
I did. I had to do something because you said, you know, better people blowing you off, Mark. Yeah. So I had to name drop somebody. I'm trying to move up there, you know, in the rankings in your mind.
Yeah, I saw that. You know, but at this point in time, listen, you know, I chuckle all the time because at this point in time, everything is speculation. Everything is speculation. And, you know, I don't know how many practices and team meetings that Randy Cross has been in. Probably none. And so, you know, at this point in time, I try not to get caught up in a hyperbole of all this stuff. And, you know, I'm trying to analyze the Buffs and see what I see and tell you what I think I see and that kind of thing. And so when you hear stuff like what Randy Cross said, that's awful nice. That, you know, it's nice to hear him say that, and I hope he's right. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I hope he's right, too. I really do. Because I'm telling you, I just think that if we can get some winning going on in this area, it all starts with the Buffs, in my opinion, and that would be huge. I said this at the beginning of the show, Mark. I said it to my producer. I said, if the Buffs beat TCU, they're going to shock the world. And my Angel's kind of like, is it really a shock the world thing, or would it just be a big upset? I think it'd be a shock the world kind of win if the Buffs win.
It would be pretty substantial. I don't know if I'll go as far as shock the world, but I mean, think about it. You got a team that played for the national championship last year. Brian Estridge, their longtime play-by-play guy, he and I were kind of coming up through the ranks together, and I've known Brian forever, and we've been friends for a long, long time, and so we were talking, and he seems to think they're going to be pretty darn good. They've got like 8 or 9 guys back on defense, and they've made some improvements, they think, on offense. And so it would be a substantial win on the road down there, who knows, it's probably going to be 110 degrees and 100% humidity and all that kind of stuff. So there are plenty of obstacles down there. If they went down there and had a decisive victory over TCU, that would be a very substantial win, no doubt about that.
Well, it's an interesting setup for TCU as well because, you know, last year it was supposed to be Chandler Morris. He gets hurt in that CU game, and then it's Max Duggan from then on. Now they're going back to it. It's like, okay, this was the plan anyway, so let's see if we can. But so much to me rides on what Chandler Morris can be for TCU.
That's true for everybody. I mean, you know, Chandler Morris is going to determine offensively what TCU is going to be. Shedeur Sanders is going to determine what Colorado is going to be. I mean, that's just the way it is in college football. And so, you know, when I was talking to Brian the other day and I asked him about it, I said, hey, how do you replace the playmaker there in Max Duggan? And he said, well, you know, that's not going to be easy. But he said, we certainly thought last year that, you know, Chandler Morris is a very good quarterback, a high-level quarterback. And, you know, I mean, and I think they understand down there, too. They were a very good team last year, and they were very lucky as well. The ball bounced their ways a number of times, you know. Do I think TCU will be playing for a national championship this year again? No, I don't. But I think they're a quality team. I think they're a top 15-level team. I think they're going to be very strong defensively. And so, it's the guy that we saw. And, you know, I don't put a lot of stock in that. You know, it was a very close game at halftime last year, as you remember. And, you know, did Morris seem overly sharp that day? No, it was first half of the season. There's no preseason games in college football like we see in the NFL, and so a lot of times those first halves can be a little bit shaky at times. That's what it was last year in that ball game for both teams, really.
Well, and that's what I'm kind of saying. If the Buffs, you know, what better opportunity do you have than if somebody's going to knock TCU off, and they've had to replace some guys. You know, they're two leading rushers, a few good wide receivers, a few linemen there, and obviously the quarterback situation. I suppose if there were a time to do it, it would be week one. And last year, as you said, in that first half, TCU didn't look good. If the Buffs just could have found any offense at all, who knows, maybe it's a little bit closer. But yeah, it was rough. The offense just kept getting worse in that game. And that's kind of my thoughts. There's a lot of unknowns for me personally about the Buffs. I have the names on paper, but we don't know what to do with that until week one. But if you're going to pull off an upset, week one would be the one to do it.
Well, without question. I mean, and think of it from this standpoint. You know, the CU coaching staff, Coach Prime's staff, has got tape on Sonny Dykes. They know what he's all about, right? They've got a lot of history of him. You know, right now, Sonny Dykes and his staff, and I saw where Coach Dykes made this comment the other day. He said, you know, we're looking at Kent State tape at this point. We're looking at a little of Jackson State tape from last year. He said, we're not looking at any Colorado tape from last year. There's no point in it, right? There's nobody left here that was involved in that. And so, you know, there is an unknown factor that TCU's got to deal with in this ball game, and so advantage Colorado in that regard.
Yeah, and that's the interesting part when we start a season off. Sometimes it can be that advantage to be the unknown team, especially when you're replacing some guys going forward. And you brought it up too, how important that quarterback, or you mentioned it, how important the quarterback is for any team. Shedeur, that's the guy we're talking about. Him, everybody's talking about him on a daily basis, and what's your feel right now, getting to know him a little bit more, Mark? I know you're talking to these players on a daily basis, and then just seeing those stories, hearing those stories play out. What's your take on this kid, man? I mean, do you think he's going to jump out the gates and be a really successful quarterback as soon as, you know, first couple weeks?
Well, first thing, I'm awful impressed with him. You know, I said this, so I did, it's got to be 2 weeks ago, I did an interview with Shedeur, and then this past week I did one with Shiloh, who's, you know, Coach Prime's son on the defensive side. Let me say this off the top. Coach Prime, he can be a guy that, you know, some people love and some people hate. I mean, he's, you know, he's got some of that. I'll say this, boy, he's done a phenomenal job raising his sons. I mean, they're impressive kids. When you're around them, the way they handle themselves, the way they talk, the way they express themselves, the demeanor, awful impressed by both of them in that regard. Now, as far as Shedeur as a quarterback, he's accurate, he's athletic, he's smart, he moves very well. The guys seem to respond to him. You know, if you're going to lay out what you want in a quarterback, you'd lay out everything that I just talked about right there. And so he's got all the tools you're looking for to be a good quarterback. You know, I love standing out there and watch with the group of receivers that Colorado has, with Xavier Weaver and, you know, Jimmy Horn and certainly Travis Hunter and that group. I mean, those are some NFL-caliber guys. And to watch him work with those guys is awful impressive. He has got every attribute you're looking at to be a good quarterback. And he's going to be playing in the league that's got the best quarterback playing in college football right now with all the guys, including the Heisman Trophy winner. So I'm awful impressed by him. I certainly want to see more, I can tell you that.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, joining us. Okay, so Travis Hunter, he's going to play both sides. I know that. I know he's going to be involved. But primarily, where are we leaning there, Mark? Do we know the answer to that yet?
The answer is he's on a football field.
the answer is yes.
Yeah. When I did a piece with Travis here, I don't know, a couple weeks ago maybe, and he said, "Oh, I'm going to be out there." No, he does. I think he's got a lot of desire to play special teams, but offense and defense, I don't think he's coming off the field all that often.
Wow. You know? I mean, and that's pretty unique. I mean, you see it in college football. I remember when the Broncos did it with Champ Bailey, but it was like two or three plays here and again on offense. That's pretty unique in even college football, though, isn't it, Mark?
Yeah, you don't see it often in the NFL for obvious reasons with all the money involved there. But, you know, every once in a while we see two-way guys. Who was the linebacker and running back from a few years ago? I'm totally drawing a blank on who he was. He was going both ways. Was he at Arizona State, I think? Went both ways quite a bit. You know, every once in a while you see these guys that you know, Desmond Howard from a few years ago. Oh, goodness, Charles, the Heisman Trophy winner from Michigan. He went both ways.
Woodson.
Charles Woodson, yeah. He went both ways. And so there are guys that do it. It's not as common as it was back in the 50s and 60s, obviously, when guys were doing it quite a bit. But every once in a while, when you're a special athlete, you can do it. And Travis Hunter is one of those guys.
Mark, I know you love it when I ask questions that are not really about football. It's more about the drama side of things. But what's your take? Prime time, you know, he said it at the end. Everybody gets along. It's all great. But he kind of said, hey, I really don't care about culture as long as they like each other on the field. What's your thoughts there?
I don't disagree with that. I don't think you have to, you know, have kumbaya relationships within a team in order to do your job out there. You know, there was always, you know, for example, that when they had it rolling with Willie Stargell and the Pittsburgh Pirates years ago, there was always rumors those guys hated each other. And they just went out and won all the time, you know, because they're really good. And there are plenty of circumstances. I mean, think of the Chicago Bears when they had the, you know, Super Bowl shuffle back in that day.
Mm.
The offense and defensive sides of the ball, I mean, despised each other. I mean, Buddy Ryan and Mike Ditka were, I mean, arch enemies, for goodness sakes. And the team divided down offense and defense as a result of that. So it's not like you've got to have, you know, it's not going to be the Waltons every night where everyone's going to, hey, good night, John Boy, and, you know, and we're just having kumbaya conversations. That's not the case. As long as everyone goes out there and does their job, I mean, you can have a lot of success in that regard. And so I don't think what Coach Prime said was we make too much of that, I think, in sports, that we have to have, you know, these guys all have to be best friends and they've got to hang out. I don't think that's true in any way, shape, or form. I think about successful organizations I've been around at different times. And, you know, a lot of times there were people that I didn't see one moment outside of when we were together for the purpose we were together. And that's perfectly fine, you know, as long as we can all come in and understand what our role is and how we do it and be disciplined with that. I think you can have great success.
Well, I think those are great points, too, that you bring up, because I've been following the George Carl drama on Twitter between he and Kenyon Martin.
Yeah.
I never thought they loved each other, but I didn't think they were that bad. But then I just talking to him a couple times about that and then seeing Kenyon Martin's tweets, I mean, they did not like each other, borderline hated each other, and somehow that was one of the more successful stints in the history of the Denver Nuggets.
Have you ever spent any time around Kenyon Martin?
No, I never have.
Jeez, I'm not sure his mother liked him. Holy cow. Man, back in the day, he was a prickly character, man.
Mm.
And so, you know, I don't know, there were a lot of people I don't think got along with him, so I'm not surprised to hear that. But yeah, and you know, think of the Dennis Rodman deal with the great Jordan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know? I mean, Dennis was off doing his own thing all the time. But when you got him between the lines, okay, he's going to go and get you 15 rebounds and he'd play great defense and, you know, and do what he was supposed to do.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. One last serious question for you, Mark, so be ready. When are we going to bring the mullet back? When's that going to happen? Is that going to happen soon?
You like that picture my wife put up there?
I love that. Huh? And I was like, well, I thought I've seen this before, but I don't recall. And, dude, dynamite look for you. You kind of have like that 80s actor that's playing a football player kind of vibe there. I totally felt it.
Yeah, no, that was That was back in my long-haired maggot. I see, I've used that term on your show many times, or in my long-haired maggot.
I just always, thought you said that. I didn't really, but then I see it, and I'm like, who is that guy?
Wearing my Zuba pants, well, you know, that's why I was so close to Brady Russell when he played for the Buffs, because he had a very similar, you know, hairstyle that I did back in the day, and so we used to kind of compare notes, and I'd tell him if I approved of what he was doing with his hair or not, and so, you know. I don't think it's coming back anytime soon.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Well, first off, I'm not sure I can get all that hair under a cowboy hat right now. So I can't do that.
Mark, appreciate you, man. I cannot wait for your call coming up against TCU. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm ready to get into football season. Next week, though, we can actually get into preview mode.
I don't know. How about that? We're leaving a week from today. We're leaving on a Thursday. Going down there, and then, you know, a week from Saturday at, 10 o'clock in the morning. We're going to be kicking it off Mountain Time. Yeah, it's just around the corner.
I can't wait. Mark, appreciate you as always, my friend.
All right, dude. See you.
The voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. 12:49 the time. We'll wrap up hour number two. Let's get to a little bit of the matchup between CSU and Washington State in the 1 o'clock hour. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Oh, as promised, did you feel a chill in the air just about 45 seconds ago, Angel? A chill? There was a dark cloud that just kind of brushed over the station, and it was dark and scary suddenly, and I'm like, where did that come from?
Disturbance in the forest.
There was a disturbance. Cody just texted me, flipped me off.
Oh, that's who that was.
He said, I'm waving at you from the highway. God, the love there is just great. You Wyoming folks, and I'm not even a CSU folks. I'm just a folks. I try to play down the middle, you know, at times. But I could feel the disturbance. It was obvious. There was dust all over the place. A herd of wild horses running around because that's what they have in Wyoming.
Beer just got cracked or something.
Well, all the craft beer just shriveled. Yeah. Gone.
Breweries everywhere. They're just...
Just exploded.
All their canisters are gone.
All the brewers and their beanies and stuff, everything just exploded.
Why are the hops so dry?
That's a goal of mine, though. To get Cody to try a craft beer. Mm. He may have actually tried it, but Cody's
never tell you.
Yeah, he's a good guest, man. And this is the tough part for me. We have all these insiders that have all this great insight on these teams, and our job is to just take it all in and mix that in with what we're going to ultimately see every single week and try not to get too pumped on one side or the other. Because I'm telling you, I have been watching, like, Mark Johnson's stuff. His conversations with Shiloh and Shador, those two guys do not sound anything like primetime. They have confidence, sure, but there's not that swagger talk that primetime has. And so you look at Shador, and it's like he's easier to root for. I root for primetime, but I get why people are like, that guy's annoying. I get it. I do. But Shador and especially Shiloh do not come off that way. But that's all part of the character that primetime is. Down to earth, he's probably a pretty cool guy. You go fishing with him, crack open a beer or whatever, I'm sure it would be a fun, enlightening conversation. But you get the cameras around and suddenly, do you think he'd be a cool guy to hang out with if it was just you, not as a media person?
Maybe.
I think he would be.
I don't know if my personality would match with him if we were just outside, fishing or something. I don't know if we...
Hey, you're an Alabama guy. You got some fish and roll up your jeans and stuff like that. That's what you guys do.
Yeah, I just don't know. I don't know. How much is that? How much of Prime is part of his foundation as a personality?
I don't know, man. Because when you hear his kids talk,
is he 25% Prime, and he'll just kind of slip out every now and again? Like, oh, there's a little bit of Prime there.
What's Ball? The Balls, Lonzo Ball, all those guys.
LaMelo, LiAngelo.
What's the dad?
LaVar.
You hear the kids talk about how great of a dad he was, and then you hear him talk, and you're like, no way, that's not even the same guy. Now, I'm not comparing the two. I'm just saying there's another example of a guy that's probably one way with his family, and then another way in front of the cameras. Although he did disappear. He has disappeared.
Yeah, he pops up every now and again.
Yeah. He's entertaining, man.
He is. I love LeBron.
I kind of do.
He's grown on me.
Yeah, a little bit. I loved his WWE thing, you know. There's only two people better than me. No, there's only one person better than me, and I'm both of them. None of it made sense. Final hour of the program coming up next. It's The Whole Show, powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.